welcome to another edition of the Fern Podcast on the Radio St. Pete Network. I am your host, Michael Duggar. Joining me Friday evening in the 850, the capital of the great state of Florida, Tallahassee, Florida, Noah Heemer. Noah, how are things in the capital?
Kind of dreary weather, not going to lie. But things are great, man. Things are great. We're rolling. I'm enjoying the cold weather. No one else is.
Amen, brother.
I've been balling in it. It's been great. But hey, things are great. Just excited to record the last football game, talking about a football game podcast of the year.
Yes.
And it's going to be a great one. The more and more I looked at this game, the more excited I got about it, but the more indecisive I got about it. So I'm excited to dive into the nitty-gritty details.
Ooh, you were strong Patriots last week. Strong Patriots.
I was heavy Patriots lane, but like I said, the more and more I've looked at it, the more film I've watched of the Rams and that offense giving them. Here's the thing. You got Sean McVay 2 weeks. You give Bill Belichick 2 weeks. I've been in this toss-up, man. There are just a lot of, like, each team has different advantages over other teams, and it's just left me in this mystical pickle, I guess you could call. And I've been trying to figure out which direction to go, but we'll figure it out when we all lay it out on the table.
Absolutely. Back to the cold weather, it was like in the high of like 60 for most of this week, and then today it's just catapulted like 80 degrees humidity, and I just hate it. I really do. But then you look on the other side of things, and I saw everyone. I don't know. You see, do you have any friends in like the Midwest and New York and stuff?
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
I had friends in Chicago posting pictures. Oh, negative 35 degrees Fahrenheit over and over again. And I'm just thinking to myself, that's just a normal day in Winnipeg in the winter. I'm just like, come on. All you do is throw on an extra pair of clothes. And this is a thing about social media. We're not even talking about football right now. Social media. Why do I have to go to work in this stuff? Because A, you have to go to work. And B, it's just weather. It's literally, instead of wearing a hoodie and a snow jacket, you wear two hoodies and a snow jacket. And instead of wearing just pants, you wear long johns and a pants. I have a lot of problem with humans, and complaining about weather is one of them. Just because I just complained about weather, it being too hot. But don't complain about being too cold. The cold is awesome. End of the rant. Do you want to start with the analysis, or do you want to have the fun part first?
Let's get rolling in the fun part.
All right.
Why not, you know?
All right. We're just going to go through prop bets listed on Bovada.com. Actually, it's Bovada.lv in case you want to dive into the wonderful world of sports gambling in the Super Bowl. Because this is – if there's any time to start, it's the Super Bowl. Because you know you're going to be watching it, so you might as well just throw in some stupid bets. So that's what we're going to do right now. We're going to start at the top. I don't know how deep we're going to get into this list, but we're here, so let's just dive in. We're not going to get into the touchdown and field goal props, defensive and special teams, the QB, the receiving, the rushing. Jesus, there's a lot of props. So we'll start. We'll give our Super Bowl MVP predictions after we pick the game, because that'll give away who we're picking, even though we said last week who we picked. We'll start at the start of the game, coin toss. Heads or tails, -105. Are you a tails
or tails heads
guy?
I'm a heads guy.
Love it. I'm a heads.
Dude,
I'm heads through and through, baby.
I know this is going back to high school football glory days, but my sophomore year when I did the coin toss every single year, every single game, we did not lose a single coin toss, and every time we were heads, and every time we won the toss. Or if the other team picked tails, it would be heads, and we would win the toss. It was great.
I just like the heads. You know, I think Matt Slater went heads in the overtime against Kansas City too. So
heads is the way to go. I'd bet a lot on that.
Do you know? I've just realized this. New England never loses an overtime coin toss, and the one time I can actually think that they have, they actually deferred it. Because Belichick's like, oh, they're not going to drive anywhere. We're just going to get better field position. I'm like, Jesus. It's like, we can just kick a field goal. I'm like, Jesus. This guy literally operates at a level that no one can get to. All right. You know who's singing the national anthem, right?
Yeah, Gladys Knight.
So, How long will it take Gladys Knight to sing the U.S. National Anthem? The over-under is set at 1 minute and 49 seconds.
Well, what are historically, how longer national anthems?
They vary. The over as minus 145. The under is plus 105. Here's what I'm thinking. If I'm Gladys Knight's family, if God, hopefully she has family. I don't know anything about her background. I'd be telling her, hey, I got about $150,000 on you hitting this under and we get odds. We split that. Bang. Bank. That's a lot of money to do with those odds. And this is something. These odds are going to change tomorrow and Sunday because when they do rehearsal, there will literally be people timing them. Timing her singing, and then they'll adjust the odds like, oh, she's killing that 149 over just like that. I actually am thinking I think she's going to take a dive and go under.
I just did a quick search, and according to FanDuel.com, the time to perform the Star Spangled Banner has averaged exactly 120.4 seconds or 2 minutes over the last 10 performances in the Super Bowl.
So what are you going? You going over?
Just because her voice is so like it's Gladys Knight. Like
you never,
she's gonna rock the show.
Yeah, you never want it to end.
No, never.
That's the best part of the game. All right, now we're getting to the war. Oh my God. This is not this one. The next one's funny. This one's kind of interesting too. All right, will Gladys Knight be wearing a skirt, dress, or gown to sing the U.S. national anthem? Yes, as minus 240, no, plus 165. I'm going to do a quick search of Gladys Knight performing while you figure out what you think.
If I had to take a guess, I would say yes, she is going to wear.
There are a lot of their pictures of her in a pantsuit and in a dress. How old is Gladys?
We're in Atlanta.
If it was outside, I think she'd be wearing pants. Absolutely. How old is Gladys Knight? She's 74.
She looks great.
Man. All right. I don't know. I mean, you just take the yes or the no. I mean,
I'm gonna go with the yes. I think she's gonna wear a dress.
The thing is, people know about this stuff that are within her camp. Someone could literally be just like saying she's practicing in a gown all week, get those odds like minus 300 at the no to like plus 250, and just pull the rug underneath it. Bang, I'm wearing a pantsuit. That's why is someone in Gladys Knight's camp needs to look at these three odds and say, like, hey, you're the Empress of Soul. You have money forever. You have a lot of money. We can make even more money if we do this, but we'll see. Mm. All right.
I'm going to actually put her in my ear right now.
Oh.
Yeah, we're making that move.
Good for you. All right, while you're listening, will Gladys Knight forget or omit a word from the national anthem? Plus 300, yes. Minus 500, no.
I'm going to say no.
Oh, all right, yeah. That's what the odds... Yeah, I don't know. I don't think Fergie's singing the national anthem. You've seen the Fergie national anthem, right? At the NBA.
Yeah.
Have you? You saw? Please tell me you saw what the Warriors remix did.
No.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so you know how we're going. This podcast is going to be off the rails because it's Super Bowl. We're going prop bets. We're talking NBA in the second half. We're going to dive into some stuff. Sade is going to be brought up. It's going to be great. Okay. You've seen the video of Fergie singing the national anthem, right? Which
yes.
Means you've seen the picture of Draymond Green laughing.
Yes. Okay.
So her husband, Josh Hummel, if you may have seen him from the Transformers movies, that's all I know him for, the original ones. He was like the main military guy.
Okay.
He comes out in an interview and says, they need to apologize for laughing during my... I think ex-wife singing and all that stuff. So literally the next night, they're playing in New York. Someone does like a remix of her singing the anthem. The Warriors post like a 40-second video of them literally just dancing to Fergie singing the national anthem. I recommend you Google it whenever you get a chance and watch it. But it's great. So I don't see her admitting this. I think she has too much class and is too talented. I mean, she is old, so you never know. So, I mean, could get, like I said, she could forget a word on purpose, make a lot of money of those plus 300, but I don't think she's into that. All right. Will any player take a knee during the National Anthem? I don't think anyone from the Patriots has all year, and I don't think anyone from the Rams has all year. So I'm going to say no. I mean, the odds are minus – wait. Yeah, the odds are minus 500 to say no, so I think that's pretty safe.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
Okay. They get creative. Okay. Will any scoring drive take less time than it takes Gladys Knight to sing the National Anthem? Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Minus – that's 145. No, plus 105. You go, yes, I agree. Brady in a two minute drill. Easy. Those odds are pretty low, actually. Okay. Combined yardage of all touchdowns. Minus 880, it's at 87.5. Minus 155 or plus 115? Where are you going?
What is the yardage?
87.5.
Yeah, I'm going to take the over on that.
All right. Vegas agrees with you as well. Next, combined yardage of made successful field goals. You're the field goal king. No one loves field goals more than you.
No one does.
You probably picked 35, 15, 12 games. So, combined yardage of made successful field goals, over or under 122.5?
Man.
There's no plus odds. That's the thing.
Yeah, I'd take the under on that.
Mm.
Because I think they're going to be scoring a lot of big touchdowns. So I don't think they're going to be a lot of long field goals. Mm.
The dome helps that too.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Distance of longest penalty in the game. I don't really care about that. That's not fun.
Because that's kind of hard to predict because of all the spot fouls on pass interference. Mm-hmm. That could literally be an 85-yard penalty if you really wanted it to.
And the over-under set at 15.5. I think that...
On longest penalty?
Yeah.
That's terrible. Wow.
I mean, you can get over odds at minus 130 and under odds at 110. Minus 110. There's no plus in this one either. There's no plus in, yeah, the next one either. But I don't want to care about... How many Patriots? How many of them will have a reception rush touchdown? Ooh, this is a good one. How many players will have a passing attempt? And the over-under is set at 2.5. So they're daring you to say a Julian Edelman halfback pass or a John Hecker fake punt. What say you?
Yeah, I would take the over on that.
Okay.
I'm not necessarily saying a John Hecker fake punt. But I definitely, because Bill Belichick's not going to lose on special teams like that, if I'm being honest. But I do like Bill Belichick trying to get Julian Edelman to throw the football.
It's happened in countless big games in the playoffs, too. I like this one. How many plays will Tony Romo correctly predict ahead of the play? The over is it set at 7.5, and you can get plus.
That's exactly. You should have asked me what it was, because that's what I was going to say.
And you can say plus 105. For over.
Oh, over then.
That's the thing. Is he going to do it? Because whenever he wants to do it, he does it. Whenever he wants to. But I feel like he's been told to scale it back. But now that he has reached mecca status of football color commentating, I feel like he's going to do it. I feel like he's going
to
just...
I feel like he can do whatever. It's what everyone wants to hear.
Mm-hmm. I feel like he's going to double
down. Yeah, him and Nance are awesome, so... On the biggest stage, I don't think he'll do it all the time, but I bet you'll see in like critical situations, like big third downs. I bet you'll start seeing him, especially if the game's starting getting close in tight situations. I think he's going to start. He's not going to be able to contain himself, if I'm being honest, because if he sees it, he's going to talk about it.
It's going to come right here, Jim. It's going to come right here. I love it. His excitement of football is just the best.
I love it.
How many QB hits will Aaron Donald record? I'll let you guess the over-under.
3.5.
It's 2.5.
So I'm taking the over.
Over is minus 105 versus the under at minus 135. Not bad. All right, you know who Ted Rath is?
No.
All right, Ted Rath.
Not off name.
I just Googled him. He's the strength coach whose job is to pull Sean McVay back. If you have looked...
Okay, yes, yes. I've seen the video.
If you looked at a college sideline, every single college football staff has at least three of them.
Yes.
It's high intensity, but it's his job. How many times will Ted Rath be mentioned during the broadcast?
Over, under, set at what? Two and a half?
I'd
take the under.
Ooh, the minus 400 from the under, too. CBS broadcast only from kickoff to game's end. Every time the announcers say Rath, it will count as one. I love this. How many replays will be shown of Ted holding Sean McVay back during the game?
That's a great prop. What's the... That's... Well, I mean, that kind of has to go... The line has to be somewhat close to the 2.5 that they have met, or 3.5 that they have met. Is it 2.5? 3.5?
3.5. You guessed 2.5. It's 3.5. Yeah, it is close. It's slightly less.
So 3?
1.5.
2.5?
1.5. Yeah. I should have said more than slightly. Gotcha. I was thinking in terms of basic numbers and not gambling, but yeah.
Gotcha. I got you. Yeah, I got you.
You can get under for even odds. Over is 140. I think they're going to show him.
I think people are going to want to see
first,
it.
Yeah.
It's funny to people.
First drive, they're going to do it, and then McVay's going to go crazy on one play, and they're going to show him holding it back. So there's two right there. That's a gimme one, I feel like. How many times will CBS show pictures of Sean McVay in college?
2.5 the line?
It's 1.5.
I'd go over
that. This is minus 160 for over. You know that he played... Yeah, he played against Julian Edelman in college, which is nuts.
Yeah, I saw that, which is definitely nuts because one's just... Have we talked on the pod about this whole Julian Edelman thing for Hall of Fame?
Yeah, we did. We did. I saw some... Did you see the Peter Schrager thing?
Where he, I don't know. Explain it. I might have.
He said, who will be remembered and have the better career? Edelman or Calvin Johnson?
Oh, I saw this. Yeah, dude, ridiculous. How do you even ask that question? How do you get paid to be an NFL analyst, NFL commentator, anything, write NFL, talk NFL, breathe NFL, talk football? I don't care. And you ask that question. That is just disrespectful.
Yes, Edelman's
like,
made...
Did he not watch Megatron? Do you know what Calvin Johnson would have done if he was with Tom Brady? Potentially more than what him and Randy Moss did.
Megatron, the great what if, the great, not even a great what if. That guy is just, I love Edelman. We talked last week about how our affinity for Edelman, how he should be a Hall of Famer eventually, and how important he is. He's just open across the middle. To even put him in the same breath as Calvin Johnson in terms of wide receiver talent in production is ludicrous.
It is.
The quarterbacks that Calvin had before Stafford, I don't want to talk about it anymore.
DeAndre Hopkins is essentially like the new Calvin Johnson in terms of like producing regardless of whoever is throwing him the football. I know he has Deshaun Watson now, consistency, but I mean he had... Fitzmagic.
Consistency on depends on who you
ask. Yeah, that's
all
true.
Right. So we're gonna do a little sidebar. I have another list of prop bets. These are we can go on and on with these. I mean, luckily we dissected the game a little bit last week. But back to Gladys. Will Gladys Knight have her microphone on a mic stand? Used one last year. Luke Bryan did not in 2017.
Oh yeah, for sure. She's too old school to not.
Gladys did not use a mic stand when performing "America the Beautiful" at the U.S. Open in 2006.
Interesting. Oh, mic stand.
Yes.
Mm.
No mic stands at +105.
I'm gonna go no mic stand.
Love it.
Yeah, I'm going no mic stand.
I'm betting on that one. How many times Jim Nantz and Tony Romo say Gronk? Over, under at 2.5. That's...
Over?
Yeah, the over will be a winner.
Say Gronk?
Yeah.
Just the word Gronk.
I have... These next three are awesome. Jim Nantz or Tony Romo mentions the spread. +500 that they mention the spread. -900 that neither mentions it. And because this is a... It's such a guarantee for the no, because CBS has a no gambling talk policy during games. So you could have to bet $900 to get 100, but it's pretty much guaranteed. The best one. The best prop bet ever. I kind of hit on a little bit with passion. Over under, I want you to guess it first, and then what would you do? Over under that Tony Romo says, "Here we go!" during the game. I love Tony Romo. My parents can't stand Tony Romo. I love the guy.
3.5.
It's 2.5.
I'm going to go over. I love Tony Romo,
dog.
Man.
Really? The over's plus 135.
Oh, come on, dude. Tony Romo broadcasting his first Super Bowl. This dude's going to be... Tony Romo being a part of his first Super Bowl ever.
He is going to be saying... Here we go, from opening kickoff. Here we go, Gostkowski kicks the touchback. That's what's going to happen all the time. Come on. Goff, 3rd and 10 in the first drive. Oh, big play. But, yeah. Seeing Tony Romo, the fact that CBS should call every Super Bowl. I'm tired of Buck. I'm tired of Aikman. NBC, I don't mind Collinsworth because Collinsworth is just a funny. Collinsworth always looks like he's inebriated of some sorts. He always has droopy red eyes. He's like, ah, man, what a game. Right. Just talks like that. I love Collinsworth too. But all right, one more of this site, and we'll go back to the bottom. Over under the times that Giselle is shown on TV.
Set at 2.5?
It's set at 1.5.
Yeah, I'll take the over on that.
Minus 140 for the over. This guy says that he bet the over on this last year, and they showed her 4 times. Like, yes, they're going to show the world's most famous supermodel. Okay. Well, Trump congratulates the winner on Twitter.
What are the odds on that?
Minus 380 that they do. And if the Patriots win, you know they're going to do it.
Oh, you already know. I'm going to take the over.
Okay.
Or I'm going to take the yes. It happens.
Okay. All right. How long? We're 23 minutes in and we're still talking about prop bets. I love it. All right.
I know.
This one's great. The jersey number of the first touchdown score. What do you think the number is?
The jersey number of the first touchdown score?
Yes.
Wow. Well, what's Rex Burkhead's number?
34.
That's 34.
All right. It's set at 26.5, which means you're banking on Gurley, CJ Anderson, or Burkhead, James White, or any of the tight ends on both sides scoring versus Sony Michel and all of the wide receivers in the whole game or the quarterbacks. This is probably the most interesting bet of all, and I'm not going to lie, I love it.
This is a really good one.
Later on, post-second hour of recording, we're definitely going to put together a little parlay for the Super Bowl, I think. I mean, because these things are awesome.
These things are just fun to watch.
Yes.
These things would be fun. This would be a fun like type of drinking game party Super Bowl game to be like every time you see one of these things, you got to you know, take a drink or something like that. That'd be funny.
Back to Don. This is a very non-political podcast. Absolutely, I promise you, we will not bring up politics. I think we did once when we were talking about the kneeling issue, but we will not talk about them. This is a sports podcast. If you want to talk politics, we'll talk on another outlet. But the whole day, total tweets by President Donald Trump on February 3rd.
Do you know how many he had last year?
I don't even want to go through his Twitter. I'll probably throw up by looking at the past day. Sorry, I got political for a second. But what do you think? It's set at 6. This is from the morning. You know, something could happen tomorrow. Fake news. It's fake news. That's one tweet. And now he's starting to do some like dots that go on for like 3. That's 4. If he goes on a little rant, you know he's going to tweet at the Patriots, they win. That's 5. Yeah, that's even odds for under. Over is minus 140.
Yeah, I'm going to go under.
Smart.
I think he's going to be about 4.
I think that line will change depending on the news tonight and on Saturday. We don't know what's going to happen. But, all right. What will be the longest score of the game? A touchdown or a field goal?
Wow. Because here's the thing. The field goal could be anywhere from 60-plus from either kicker.
Mm-hmm.
Gostkowski and Greg the Leg. But also, both of these offenses have the chance to send any deep ball or any run deep at any time. Like, just hit a home run. That's tough. I'd go field goal.
All right. Like it.
Which kind of contradicts my earlier pick of how many yards there are going to be combined for touchdowns, but and then the field goal thing, how I took the under. But, man. You know what? I go touchdown. I'm a field goal guy. I'm going to go field goal.
Stay true to the brand. All right. This is a very, very important question. I'm talking top of the line. Oh, my God. That's it. I just saw. Okay. We have three more props because there are no more better props than this, and we're going to go in order of the ones we want to talk about. What will happen to the price of Bitcoin during the Super Bowl? Will it be more? Will it be less?
I have no idea. I wish I knew more about Bitcoin.
As do I.
I'm gonna say it's gonna increase.
Interesting. I like
based off how many commercials are played, and I think that may influence it. I have no idea.
That's good thinking. I have no idea either. I don't know a lot about Bitcoin. I've heard it's a terrible time to have Bitcoin right now. I just like to have my money. I know where it's gonna be, and that's it. I don't like investing in that stuff. Although, you know, all the crypto people will be like, oh, you're missing out on great opportunity. Eh, whatever. You have fun with your dirty internet money. I'm just going to operate in real life. Shout out to you, Bank of America.
AKA sports gambling.
Oh, yeah. Hey, it's not legal yet. We can't talk about it like that. That we're doing it. We're not doing it. What are y'all talking about? Anyway, two more. What will the Super Bowl champions be served when they visit the White House? Will it be fast food? Or any other food?
I'm going to go. That's a great prop.
It's -330 for any other food, +215 for fast.
I kind of want to bet fast food just for the sake. But the thing is like, for any of y'all that don't know what they're referencing here, Clemson national champs went to the White House a couple weeks ago. During this government shutdown, and on silver platters had this gourmet, and I wasn't gourmet, but on silver platters had Big Macs, had I don't know what else did he have? Chicken nuggets from McDonald's.
There were chicken nuggets?
I'm pretty sure there were chicken nuggets there. I thought there were. Pull up the picture again. You can tell me what the display is, but yeah, he served Clemson football national champs. Fast food, which I saw and I thought, wow, we're living in a great moment of time because how many times in my lifetime is the president of the United States going to serve the national champs McDonald's, the McDonald's, the McDanks, the McChubbies? That's what he served.
I don't even think I see nuggets.
No nuggets? Was I wrong?
Quarter pounders. I think there's just sandwich boxes. I mean, if you're, I wish you were right because I'd appreciate it. What if you don't like beef and you just come here? Don't worry. We have McDonald's salad, very good salad. No. Wait. If they had chicken nuggets, absolutely. Why didn't you go Chick-fil-A? Why didn't you go like PDQ, Culver's?
Oh, I know.
Whataburger. Come on. Honestly, if someone laid out all the fast foods of America, chicken nuggets, chicken tenders, fries, I swear that'd be the best gourmet meal of all time.
I wouldn't really, if it was hot-ish, like it wasn't sitting there for too long, I wouldn't be mad really at all, especially if I'm a college kid.
It'd be awesome. But I think it'd go. I'd be into their food because they're pros.
I think the important question, Donald Trump with all of his food before everyone starts eating is the best part.
Yeah, we've talked about Donald Trump
because he's just sitting in front of a bunch of McDonald's and Wendy's and barely any salads, but all these sandwiches.
We've talked about Donald Trump more than we've talked about any other player in this entire and coaching this game. But all right, the final one, then we're actually going to talk some football. This is important. This, I've been joking about the Bitcoin and other stuff. This is at the top of my list for props. What color will the liquid be that is poured on the game-winning coach? I'm going to list the colors. I want you to pull out a little document, type them out. I want you to
trust me. This is my forte. Absolutely. You're talking to the I'm a glorified water boy. I understand this game.
Absolutely. Hey, someone has to give the players their water because you know they can't. Or tie their shoes, but that's another story for another day.
Amen. Been there too.
So, all right, lime green and yellow is all one. That's one. I want you to tell me the odds of what you think are the highest and worst. I want you to do that. All right.
Okay. I can do
that. Lime, green, yellow. Orange. Red. Clear/water. Blue. And purple. Which one do you think has the worst odds?
The clear/water. Oh, no. Purple.
Purple has the by far the worst odds. Very correct.
And then I would go clear/water.
Wrong.
Really? Where? Orange?
Wrong again. Red.
It's red? Wow, that's kind of shocking.
Yes. Then orange.
Oh, I do know some teams don't like red, especially if they've got white uniforms, mm-hmm. because if you spill at all, it stains the jersey. Yes. Unlike other forms of Powerade or Gatorade, whatever you're using.
See, now you're thinking like an equipment manager. Now you're in my mind. Now you're in my headspace a little bit. All right. So it goes purple, then red, then what do you think?
Purple, then red, then it has to be clear.
Nope, it's orange.
What? Dude, this is a Gatorade bath, not a water bath.
Final three are lime, green, yellow, blue, and clear water. What's next?
Okay, so it has to be blue at the top.
All right, do you want to keep going digressing, or do you want to come from the other side?
I got to come from the other side.
Okay.
I would say blue is the top.
No.
And then it's between... No, dude. It's water.
Water.
At the top? That's ridiculous. That is ridiculous. No, it's...
Let's do the research for the people. Belichick Gatorade baths. Oh, I see. Belichick gets dumped with water. And he has blue Gatorade for one Super Bowl, yellow for another... But it's mostly white and blue. See, the Patriots are so ahead of the game, they just drink a bunch of water. They know water is the fuel of everything. They're just like, you know what? Y'all have fun with your little sugary Gatorade. We're going to be here chilling, drinking good old-fashioned water. But yes, it goes that, and then lime green, yellow, and blue. So they've clearly looked...
Lime green's above blue? Dude, blue is the best.
They've clearly looked at the pictures I am currently staring at, and like, you know what? This is what Belichick wants to do. So, crazy. Just, if you came here for an intense breakdown of the Super Bowl, sorry. We're here to just, last week we promised prop bets, and darn it, we're giving you prop bets. All of them. So now that that's being settled, time to talk football. Noah, we talked last week and the spread was 2. In favor of New England. Started out Rams -1, shifted all the way there. What do you think the spread's at now? I nailed this last week, by the way, if you remember what it would settle at.
Patriots 2-point favorites?
Patriots are 3-point favorites. By the way, before we get, just to keep prolonging the football talk, what Gladys Knight's album you put on?
Let me tell you, I don't want to lie to you by any means. I put on I put on the second anniversary one, the expanded edition.
Because I have the Essential Gladys Knight and the Pips, the Buddha and Columbia years on, and it is three songs in, and I hope she just sings the national anthem the whole entire game. But back to the game. 3-point favorites. You were very, very confident with your Patriots pick. Start of the podcast, sound like you're wavering a little bit. Just a little bit. Did that shirtless picture of Aaron Donald kind of like, oh man, this guy's ridiculous, throw it the other way a little bit?
The D-line does intimidate me, but the Patriots consistently, I mean, their O-line coach, I cannot pronounce his last name to save my life.
I'll give it a shot. It's the Italian guy, right?
Yeah, if you could give it a shot. Right,
this is my Italian. Dante Scarnecchia.
He took like a 2-3 year leave absence. He tried to retire. Mm-hmm. I want to say like 2012, 2013, something like that. And the first year he was gone, they were all right because they were still doing his thing. But the second year he was gone, the Patriots O-line kind of fell apart. So he came back, and ever since, like, Patriots don't spend premium picks on O-linemen. The only premium pick I can remember that they spent O-linemen on was that tackle out of who's the tackle that they didn't re-sign? It's Soldier, Nate Soldier.
They also remember they drafted Isaiah Wynn this year in the first round. He just got injured. Yeah. I don't mean to interrupt you. Google Patriots O-line coach and look at the picture that this guy. I would run through a wall for this guy. But continue your rant real quick.
I see what you mean. Yeah. This dude is this rugged, looks like an old military man type of drill sergeant that's going to be yelling in your ear telling you to finish your blocks.
That was Rick Trickett. That was...
They kind of look similar, not going to lie.
He was born on Valentine's Day, too, which is just... He was a sergeant in the Marine Corps.
Hey, well, there we go.
He played football as an O-lineman, earned a degree in physical education while also serving as a sergeant in the U.S. Marine Corps. All right. We're doing everything in our powers to not talk about football.
But that's kind of like the biggest matchup for me is that Rams D-line against this Patriots O-line because it's not like the Rams secondary is – great by any means. It's not like their cornerstone. It's not what they do great. But Wade Phillips is awesome. He does a great job. And I don't mean to take away from football again, but how he's honoring his dad, Bum, with wearing that coat. I'm assuming you saw the picture of him with that, I don't even know what to call it, that pullover white fluffy jacket thing that his dad wore. So Wade Phillips is great. You know, he's going to be making moves. He's going to be doing the things that he needs to be doing on the defensive side. And Aaron Donald and Ndamukong, it's like we talked last week, Sue's been huge over these playoffs. He's just been stepping up. He knows that this is the time. He knows that this is the situation, and he's performing. But just to throw out a couple numbers, because I actually, you know, numbers are good. Aaron Donald, according to Scott Barrett on Twitter, I found this thread that he threw some numbers out that I really liked. Rams team tackles combined to rank first in pressures, force, and first in sacks. 136 pressures, force, 24 in sacks total. Most of those Aaron Donald. Patriots guards and centers combined to rank second in pressures, fifth in sacks allowed. Only 4 sacks allowed by their 2 guards in center. And only 58 pressures allowed, which is second in the NFL. That right there is where the game's going to be decided in my opinion, because if, again, Tom Brady can get the ball out quickly and neutralize that pass rush, because like we said, Joey Bosa, the Chargers, it's not like they have a weak pass rush by any means. It's one of their best parts of their game, but they couldn't get any pressure, but their pressure comes from the outside. They don't come from interior. That Aaron Donald and Sue are coming from the interior. So that's the difference between this, because you got the best pass rushing D tackles versus probably best top 3 interior O lines in terms of allowing pressures. So it's this back and forth between what's going to give. Next thing that I, according to, again, I'm taking these numbers from Scott Barrett, Jared Goff versus Patriots pass rush. Jared Goff has been terrible under pressure. If he doesn't have a clean if he doesn't have a clean pocket, he struggles. According to James Coe on Twitter, he pulled up some next gen stats for me, and it's pretty much shows that when Goff is under pressure, and ever since he lost Cooper Kupp, he's been abysmal. For example, weeks 1 through 10, Goff had under pressure had an 81.0 QBR rating. In weeks 11 through 17, he had a 40.2 QBR rating under pressure without Cooper Kupp. Me and you have gone on length about how big Cooper Kupp's loss is to him because he is that safety net. Cooper Kupp bailed. That's where Cooper Kupp gets all of his yards, is when Jared Goff gets under pressure and he's just like, boom, where's Cooper Kupp? And he, it's like hitting, it's like Cooper Kupp is like X on the controller. And as soon as Jared Goff gets scared, he just closes his eyes, presses X, and then hopes that Cooper Kupp comes down with the ball. But the thing is Jared Goff's essentially turned into Josh Rosen, is what he compared on Twitter, because Jared Goff under pressure is 28 for 48, 219 yards, no touchdowns, two picks, 40.2 rating. Josh Rosen under pressure, 23 of 49, 219 yards, two picks, 42.8 passer rating. The only difference is that Josh Rosen's thrown one more pass and completed two more under pressure. I'm not saying that that's going to be that's the deciding factor, but we saw what happens when Jared Goff when he gets rattled. We saw it early in the Rams Saints game. He looked rattled and they didn't look good. We saw it against the Bears, against that pass rush. I know it was cold, weather definitely played a part, but he didn't look great there. So it's this D-line pass rush, because you know the Patriots are going to be dialing it up, versus this quarterback who made such a clutch throw in that final drive off that bootleg, where he just literally threw it and hit the tight. He hit the tight end. I think he hit Higbee, and got that first down against the Saints on that bootleg, out to the backside. We've seen flashes of Jared Goff performing under pressure, but this Rams team is so young, starting from the head coach down, and then you have David versus Goliath. I know we say that said every time in the Super Bowl, anytime the Patriots are in it, but then you got the Patriots who have been there. Four out of the past 5 years, correct?
Yeah, and 3 years in a row.
And 3 years in a row. And they're 1-1 in the past two. Another thing, kind of like a nice little go along with a prop bet type of thinking, but I mentioned it last week on the pod. I saw ESPN put out that Saban and Belichick, arguably the two GOATs, current GOATs, if not the GOATs in their professions in college football and NFL respectively, mm-hmm. have never won a championship on the same year. Every time we've had a Bama championship, we've never had a Patriots championship. And every time we've had a Patriots championship, we've never had a Bama championship. Clemson beat Bama this year. I don't know if the Rams are going to be able to overcome that lopsidedness. You know, that's some Lee Corso thinking right there. But sometimes the universe works in ways like that, and sometimes people are connected and teams are connected and things in the universe are just connected that way. Those are probably my biggest factors going in, because I think both teams are going to be able to move the football. I just think which teams is going to be able to I know it all comes down to this, which team's going to be able to force turnovers, but which team's going to be able to, are they going to be able to get to Tom Brady quick enough to where they can get him to punt the football, and where they can get him to maybe force a pick, maybe get a running back that's shaky and cause a fumble, maybe. But I like the chances of the Patriots D getting to Jared Goff more than I like the chances mm-hmm. of that Rams D line getting to Tom Brady, because I know Eagles won last year, but like that D line is what won. But see, this is where I'm at. The D line, and which is what we've been preaching all year long on the pod. Where do you win? You win on the D line. That's where all teams must win to win. Because for example, Chiefs, they dominated the Colts. Why? Because Derek Nnadi and the rest of that D line and that front seven was dominating. If you can't dominate the front seven, the front five, the front four, you're never going to win a football game. It's just how it's just never going to happen. Unless if you got schematics out of this world. So this is the struggle I'm at, is which O-line, which D-line is going to give in, and then which quarterback is going to make a mistake. And I can't say that Tom Brady is going to be the one making mistakes. I know I've been saying Tom Brady's washed up, but obviously I was wrong. I actually said Big Ben was washed up, and I said Tom Brady was on his way out, but because Big Ben is washed. But still better than Kirk Cousins.
I'm better than Kirk Cousins.
Fair. What are your thoughts? Where do you think the biggest matchup is on this? Because I really have been struggling trying to decide which side of the pendulum is going to give, and I like I said, I've just been having a difficult time deciding between the two. I'm curious what you got to say.
I think the biggest matchup for the Patriots offense, when the Patriots offense on the field, is not even pressure. Sorry to bring that up again, Noah.
It's okay. I understand.
The Rams. This is from week 14, so this could be adjusted. But over the past, in November, maybe to December as well, probably November, December, the Rams allowed the most PPR points per game, receiving yards per game, and second most touchdowns to slot receivers. The Patriots have arguably the best pure slot receiver in the NFL. I know a lot of receivers move around, but Edelman stays in the slot. And Edelman, that's everything to me. Nickel Roby Calhoun, I always am confused about his name. Can he keep control of Edelman? What are you going to do? I talked last week about the matchups I would do. Dorsett doesn't scare me. You keep Peters on one side of the field. You have Tlaib chase Gronk when Gronk is split out wide. And you double team Edelman with Nickel Roby and LaMarcus Joyner. And you have Josh Johnson play back. That's my opinion. Double teaming Edelman, getting in his face. Because that means you can have the initial, you know, 5-yard window where you can be aggressive, and then he can play underneath, and then you can have a Joyner over the top. Because every game that's ever been won in importance by the New England Patriots has been won in the slot. It always happens. It always will happen. And then they're going to throw Gronk on the perimeter. Tlaib, Gronk, I feel like that is a slam dunk, especially because Wade Phillips sometimes likes to match up like that. He used to in Denver. He used to say, hey, you're there, you're there, you're there. But now with Peters not being the best chase corner, he likes to be glued to one side. We'll see. I think that is the biggest thing because Donald's going to get pressure. They're going to double team Donald. Can Sue get pressure from the perimeter? Because Sue rushes from the perimeter more than from the edge more than people think. Can Sue win his battles? I think Sue will win his battles. But even if you don't win the battles, even if you do or don't, it may not be quick enough. The way you make it quick enough is you cover Edelman, you cover Hogan, and you cover the ghost of Gronk, whatever he has left. And that's what I would do. James White, this is going to be – we talk about, you know, we dive into these matchups. Oh, well, Chris Hogan had a big game 2 years ago. Chris Hogan's going to do this and that and all that. No, there's two people that Brady's going to throw to, Julian Edelman and James White. Can you stop those two guys? I don't know. On the flip side, Rams scheme their, besides Cooks, they scheme Robert Woods open and Josh Reynolds and Higby and Everett. But they come out 11 personnel, 3 wideouts, a running back, tight end. I know this is the most cliche thing to say in football. If the Rams get their running game going, they're fine. You keep Brady at bay. Gurley gets going. CJ Anderson gets going. That opens up play action because Rams are amazing at play action. That's what Goff gets his thing. And like you said perfectly, Goff, when he has pressure, it's bad. But it's not even just the pressure. It's when his first read is taken away. He struggles at this point of his career. He struggles a little bit. The Patriots' best part of their defense is their secondary. The Rams' best part of their offense is their O-line. What will the Patriots do? Are the Patriots going to – if the Patriots just say, hey, We're putting six, seven in the box, and we're stopping this run game. Can their DBs and secondary contain the schemes that are going to be thrown their way? And Gurley out of the backfield. Kyle Van Noy has been playing great. Hightower's, who was the game they were against? I think it was against the Chiefs. Damian Williams did a simple play action, ran to the flat, and Hightower was just, he read it perfectly. He is just too slow to stay with him. Gurley has another 2 weeks rested, coming off the worst game of the season, if not.
Yeah, essentially coming off 3 weeks rest after how little he played.
Yes, essentially the worst game of his career in the biggest moment. And you don't think he's going to come? I mean, he's just going to come out guns blazing. I'm talking in a matchup where the coaching staffs are so even, the schematics are so even, and they're so perfect, and they're so well drawn up. And the quarter, you look at a couple things. Quarterback experience, special teams. Special teams is even. Fassel, is it Jim or John Fassel, the special teams coach? Let me look.
If I had to guess, I'd say John.
Yeah, because he's the brother. Yeah, John Fassel. One of the best special teams coaches in football. So he's going to ask some fake. They have one of the best. They have arguably one of the greatest punters of all time, greatest punters ever, and Greg DeLeg's their line, who is just as solid as you get in the kicking game. Other side,
I mean, if you watch the NFC Championship game, you'd realize how great he is.
Yes. Other side of things, you see, what is it? You see Guskowski, Belichick paying attention, lefty punter forever because different spin of the ball. You know they're going to be solid, rock solid there. And they have Edelman returning punts. Comes down to quarterback and experience. Those both favor the Patriots. But I don't know if I can pick them. All the matchups seem even. They literally do. And the over-under is set at 56.5. So they're expecting a shootout. But I don't know. Like, it's genuinely an intriguing matchup that I do not know.
Let me ask you this.
Talk to me.
We've always said, like, the way you beat the Chiefs, the way you beat these high-powered offenses is by running the football and keeping the other quarterback, keeping Aaron Rodgers, Pat Mahomes, Tom Brady, whoever you're trying to keep on the sideline, you keep them on the sideline. Do you think, and you express the matchup of Patriots highlighting their secondary, not necessarily great at stopping the run, but they play good team defense. That's what the Patriots are built on. Do you think that the Rams are going to try and do what the Patriots did to the Chiefs and just try to keep Tom Brady off the field as long as possible, and they're just going to try to run these long, extended drives with Sean McVay? Do you think they're just going to try to maybe move methodically down the field and try to just, like, elongate yet, but chew the clock essentially, just with flow of the game and trying to keep Tom Brady on the sideline? Or do you think they're going to try and just be like, we just need points all the time, no matter what, let's just score, you know, just go for it? Or do you think they're going to try to be methodical and strategic and keep Brady on the sideline?
I'm looking at the time possession, excluding overtime for the 2018 season. Patriots were second at 31 minutes and 56 seconds. Rams were seventh at 30:59. It's no secret both teams enjoy running the ball. They have a staple of backs. They use them all in very different ways. I think the Rams are at their best when they are just pounding the rock and opening up play action.
I completely agree.
I think they have to. Because it's not even their defense is, it's not that their defense is bad. It's just you want to limit the number of times Brady has the ball in his hands.
Exactly.
You milk the clock. And another thing that I thought of is I try to look up a stat. I can't get it. I don't pay the money for the very, very up there.
The next gen stats,
yes,
essentially.
Yes, the next gen and the analytics like that. But I wish I could see how the Patriots defended against the zone running scheme, because their linebackers are slow. If Gurley gets, but the thing is, the Patriots are probably being taught set the edge. But the thing is, even when you set the edge, Gurley's so good at finding that little crease in between the tackle and the tight end. and just getting upfield. So, and another thing is, they have that with Gurley, and then they run inside zone with C.J. Anderson because he's so shifty. So, it honestly comes down to how effective do I think the zone running will be? And I think it will be. I think they'll be very effective because this is what it comes down to. Do I think Aaron Donald is the best player in football? Yes. Do I think he can get to Brady? I do. Even with all the stats you laid out earlier, it's none of those were against Aaron Donald. Do I think the Patriots can slow down Gurley and Anderson? Because it's Anderson too. Not really. Not really. It'd be interesting to see if McVay says, you know what, we're not going to come out in 11 personnel 98% of the time. We're going to mix up some fullback, double get Gurley and Anderson in the game. Maybe go 5 wide. I think I'm excited. I'm just excited for this football game. We have 4 minutes to make our predictions. And I don't even know if I like it right now. I don't even know if I like my pick right now. But I had to stick with what I went with last week. But
which is?
I'm going Rams. And to circle back to the MVP odds, I have to find real quick because I left my Bovada page. Special props. It's my Super Bowl MVP. All the way down there at plus 900 is Todd Gurley. I see. This is the reverse of the first Super Bowl the Patriots won. I'm going. What was the score of that game? Hold on. The Patriots Rams score. Really. You'll just say it. It was 20-17. I'm gonna go. Twenty-seven, 24 Rams, 2 rushing touchdowns for Gurley, 150. Brandon Cooks gets a touchdown. Greg DeLay kicks the field goal as the game expires. Noah, you have 2 minutes to state your case for whatever team you pick.
Man, I've laid the foundation to pick the Patriots, but I told myself that I need to start following my gut more often, and so I'm going to do that, and I'm going to take the Rams on the basis that Aaron Donald is the best football player in the NFL, and Ndamukong Suh is going to show people why he should have won the Heisman. always circle back.
I know it does. I even was thinking about it for a second. I'm like, wait, why did he just bring up the Heisman Trophy right now? I'm like, of course.
Yeah, but I think that D-line is still dominant. That's what we saw last year with the Eagles, with Fletcher Cox and Vinnie Curry and all those monsters.
Takes one play. The Eagles made the one play they needed on that strip sack by Brandon Graham. So
that's exactly, and if I think that Aaron Donald's going to be getting the QB hurries like I think he's going to, I like Gurley coming off. I like that two-headed monster they have between Gurley and Anderson. I think Sean McVay is going to be throwing stuff at Belichick that I don't know. Here's the thing. I've been saying it all season. When you get lucky and you win games you aren't supposed to win, a la Rams versus Saints, and you win games, like, you know, assuming, you know, the call gets called correctly, they probably lose that game. Mm-hmm. But if the wow, this is so tough.
Yeah, you got 45 seconds.
But the Rams said that, you know, they got lucky, and sometimes you by the grace of God or whatever higher power you may or may not believe in,
Mother Nature.
Sometimes things just work. Yeah, Mother Nature, just whatever you got. Sometimes things just work out that way, and you're just blessed to have the opportunity. I'm gonna take the Rams because of how they went into New Orleans and stole that. I think that run game's just going to be too much, and Aaron Donald, man. I think I'm going to take Aaron Donald for my MVP.
Yeah, I was going to take him, but I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to go Gurley because it's too hard to pick that.
Is he the favorite?
It goes Brady, Goff, Gurley, Sony Michel, CJ Anderson, Aaron Donald.
Yeah, I'll take Aaron Donald, but a dark horse MVP would be Sue
because I could see Aaron Donald getting a lot of the attention and Sue wreaking havoc one-on-one.
Love it. With that note.
I can't believe I just made that. I know. Wow, that's great. I feel better about that than I would with the Patriots, just saying. Score, I'm going to go 31-30 Rams.
Love it.
Almost went 15-12, but I can't.
I hope in your scenario they go for two instead of the extra point to win, but we know McVay won't do that. L.A., you're having a parade. There may be 5,000 people there, but you're still having a parade. On that note, we'll be back for a, not reckless, but a scatterbrain NBA. I'll probably dive into some soccer talk. Sade, Pink Floyd, everything's on the table for hour two. We'll be right back after these messages and station identification.